Take your Bibles with us this morning, would you please? And I want you to turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. We've been in a series over the summer and the pandemic season about 101 living. A number of people have been watching online that weren't familiar with Brighton Assembly of God. I called a lady this past Friday. She had called the office, and she just said, you know what, Pastor, so enjoyed getting to know Brighton Assembly of God and the mission that you folks are fulfilling online. I've got loved ones, relatives watching from Myanmar even today, formerly Burma, that have been fed by the ministry here. And it's just been exciting to see what God has done over these last weeks in the midst of the pandemic. How many of you know where sin abounds, grace does that much more abound? That's how it ought to work. The problems can turn into opportunities, and it caused us to recalibrate as a church, refocus without changing our message. And we're touching more people than ever before. And I thank the Lord for that. And through this time, we've been, because we were in the pandemic and we were having new people watch, we decided to just for 12 to 15 weeks to go into a series about 101 living. What does it mean to live the Spirit-filled life? What does it mean to carry out the cause of Jesus Christ foundationally and in elementary fashion? And so whenever somebody says, well, that's 101, you know what? We know that that is foundational or elementary. We've talked about forgiveness 101, following 101, marriage 101, Spirit-filled living 101. We've talked about the idea of fatherhood and peace and Christian citizenship on that 4th of July weekend 2 weeks ago. And today I'd like to talk to you and share a word that I believe the Lord's laid on my heart. And I've retweaked a couple of thoughts over the generations that I've preached here, 28 years. And I'd like to talk to you about childlikeness 101. Childlikeness 101. Ron and I had a little mishap with our family this past week. Some of you are snickering because you know what I'm going to refer to because Rhonda posted it on Facebook. Now, I want to preface what I'm going to say by saying I am not throwing stones at my wife by what happened, because I'm the guy that I put a truck in gear a few years back. It slipped out of gear, rolled down our driveway, and smashed into our neighbor's car. And you know what our neighbor's car was? It was a brand new Mercedes coupe. Yeah. And you know what? He's still a friend today. That's amazing to me. So Ron and I got back late last weekend. And on Monday morning, Rhonda said, hey, you're going to work out. You work out. And while you just kind of watch the kids and care for them, I'll go grocery shopping and restock our cupboards that have been depleted before we left on our vacation. And I did my workout, got cleaned up. I was ironing my shirt for the day, and I heard Rhonda come in, and I said to the kids, hey, Mom's home! And I heard Rhonda yell upstairs, and she said, Bradley, are you dressed? I said, yeah, I'm just ironing my shirt. What's up? And I could hear she was distraught and crying. And I said, what's wrong? She said, I smashed our cars. And I said, really? That's what I said, really. I put my shirt on and went downstairs, and my wife is in tears. And I felt terrible for her. I mean, come on. Stuff is stuff, right? Boy, there's three guys that got a right opinion. Stuff is stuff, every lady and man ought to say, amen. So Rhonda, I parked my car, my truck in the driveway, and Rhonda was thinking about grocery shopping, and she forgot that I was parked back there. And I said, well, why didn't you come in and get me? When she did it, pulling out to go to the grocery store, she said, I was crying in the middle of the grocery store, and people were wondering what in the world is going on with this lady. And she got back, and she was crying, and I just hugged her, and I just said, honey, it's no big deal at all. It's no big deal at all. And Eli and Ellie ran up and put their arms around them. And Ellie, she's a tough nut. But when people are hurting, I mean, she feels it intensely. And she's crying, and Eli's hugging her, and mommy's crying, and daddy's looking over the damage a little bit. And Ellie, a minute later, comes back, and she's in tears, and she's got some money in her hand, probably about $7 or $8. And she said, Dad, Daddy, here's my piggy bank money. You can use all of this to fix Mommy's car. Said, honey, that is awesome. We don't need your money. We're good. I promise you that. It's only stuff, Ellie. Then when I started looking at getting the estimates this past week, that's when I started crying. I'm teasing. The fact of the matter is, you know what, kids, it was priceless to see my daughter respond that way. I wish I had had it on video. In our text today, the disciples were arguing amongst themselves. And they asked for Jesus to break a tie. What they were arguing about was, who's the greatest? Can you imagine coming to the Lord saying, hey, would you break this tie? I think I'm the greatest. He thinks he's the greatest. Tell us, Lord, who's the greatest? And the Lord takes a living child and makes an object lesson out of that child and teaches a profound truth. And you and I, we know what the world says about greatness, don't we? We've labeled our leaders great. Philip the Great, Alexander the Great, Herod the Great, Catherine the Great. The fact of the matter is, would they put a terminology upon greatness that the Lord does not? And I want us to look at the idea today of what really greatness is from God's perspective. Would you stand with me for the reading of the Word? If you're watching online, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, and we'll begin reading there. And what Jesus had to say about childlikeness. Say childlikeness. Not childishness, but childlikeness. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called the little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change, say, you change. Look at somebody next to you and say, you change. You change and become like little children. Say, little children. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Turn over one chapter now to Matthew 19. And some little children were brought to Christ. Look at verse number 13. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Just like these. Such as these. When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, it's amazing how awesome your word is. Lord, you want us to be like little children. You want my spirit to be like Eli and Eleanor's. Lord, you want us to emulate their lives when it comes to faith in you. And so, Lord, over these next few moments, I pray that your word would come alive. I pray that people might hear your voice, either online or present here at Brighton AG. And I ask, Lord, that they not hear the word and remain the same, but they be changed by its power. Do a work in our lives. Help us as believers to relearn these elements of a child's life, I pray, in these next few moments, and we'll thank and praise you for it. And Lord, if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love. And all God's people would say amen. Amen. You may be seated. That's a revolutionary statement, Brighton. Some people think that children have to become like adults in order to understand really what Jesus is about and to trust him. But Jesus said that the adults need to become like children in order to be part of the kingdom of heaven. In one respect, God only has kids in the kingdom. Wouldn't you agree? If we're going to be little children again, we've got to understand how a child thinks. We can learn a lot from kids, can't we? How many of you still want to be a kid at heart? I do. And since we've all been kids at different times, we don't need to learn new qualities, but we need to relearn those attributes that we had a part of our lives at one time. Or we just never stopped doing, I pray. I'd like to give you 7 positive childlike qualities that you and I need to pray about and incorporate into our lives. And so we just need to keep expressing these attitudes. Most of them are in participle form. That means they have an ing on the end. And we just keep doing them throughout our lives. Continuous action. First off, I want to keep learning new things. Children have a natural sense of curiosity, don't they? I mean, we're right in that stage with Eli and Ellie. And if you spend time with kids, they'll ask you a million questions. Most of the questions begin with what? Why? Why is the sky blue? Why do I have to take a bath? Why do I have to eat my vegetables? Children aren't shy about asking, are they? One little mother tells the true story of sitting in a doctor's waiting room. And she's there with her 6-year-old son, Charlie. And Charlie blurted out to the woman next to him, "Why is your tummy so big?" The expectant mother smiles patiently and said, "Because I'm having a baby." Charlie's eyes got as big as saucers. And he asked, "So the baby's in your tummy?" The mother replied, "She sure is." Charlie said, "Is she a good baby?" The expectant mom thought Charlie was so cute. And she said, "She sure is a good baby." Then Charlie said, "Then why did you eat her?" Children love to learn. They're like sponges soaking up information, aren't they? They'll even ask funny questions. I love, you can do a Google search and you can find a million of these, but I love some of the questions kids ask God. One little girl, she asked, "Dear God, is it true my father won't get into heaven if he uses his golf words in the house?" One little girl said, "Dear God, did you mean for giraffes to look like that, or was that an accident?" Jeffrey asked, "God, is it great the way you've always get the stars in the same place each night? I love that. Why can't you do the same thing with the moon?" I like that. Dennis wrote, "Dear God, my grandpa says you were around when he was a little boy. How far back do you go anyway?" The problem with some adults is this, Brighton, is they lose the curious, childlike, teachable heart. They think they know it all. They close their minds and they don't really want any new information. They just want to tell everything that they know. The Apostle Peter compared us to children when he wrote 1 Peter 2:2. He said, "Like newborn babies, crave," say crave, "crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." Crave the spiritual milk of the Word of God. Do you ever have a child that, man, they had a very set feeding period? When Eli was born, I mean, you could set your watch to it. 2 hours, and if you didn't have a bottle ready and warm, he started screaming at the top of his lungs. I mean, it was 2 hours. He was craving that milk, that formula. In the same way a baby craves the formula, Brighton, we should be craving to continually learn the Word of God. My mom and dad are watching online from Springfield, Missouri today. My dad is 84, my mother is 85, but they still every morning crave to hear the voice of the Spirit through the Word of God. Can I ask you, is there a teachableness about your heart and life like that of a child? Lord, would you, through your Word, through your Spirit's presence, speak into my heart and my life? I want to keep learning new things. I want to keep asking for help. Children have to depend upon their parents, don't they? Dependence comes natural for a child. The older we get, the more independent we become. And we're even proud of it in many respects. We think we can take care of our own needs and our own problems. I've heard people say something like this. You know, they kind of stick their nose up in the air. I'm too proud to ask for charity. Their attitude is wrong, but their observation is correct. They're too proud. It's pride that keeps a person from asking for help. Humility is recognizing that our own strength isn't sufficient. My kids come to me, Daddy, can you help me with this? God doesn't help those. You've heard me preach about this if you've been a part of Brighton Assembly for any length of time. God doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps the helpless. Blessed are they that are poor in spirit, for theirs shall be the kingdom of God. He's speaking about kingdom, about children, and in the Beatitudes. We need to be like a child and realize the very next breath that we have. Take a deep breath. Do you realize that was a gift from God? Every breath that we have is a gift from God. The next pulse of our heart is a gift from God. Every dollar we've ever seen is because God has given us the ability to work or receive it. I love it. I know it's not totally related, but it's speaking about connected to God. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that is that bears fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Why don't you pick up for apart from me and say that out loud with me. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We've got to have that kind of complete dependence upon God. Remember when we've studied, when growing up in school, in Sunday school, Simon Peter's walking on the water. When he starts sinking, he's probably tempted. You know what? Maybe I can make it to shore, or maybe I can make it back into the boat. But he knew that he couldn't do it in his own strength. He humbles himself and cries out for help. Lord, save me. And pride will make you think that you can swim on your way to heaven. I want you to know, you and I all need the presence of Almighty God. We need God's help. A child, we've got to become like a child and cry out for help. Thirdly, I want to keep from becoming cynical. You ever seen a child? Ellie did it yesterday as we walked around the Tridge in Brighton. She started to walk up these blocks and got to the top, and she said, Daddy, catch me. Have you ever seen a child leap into a parent's arms? That's what faith is. It's taking a leap and trusting God will be there for you. Trust comes naturally for a kid. That's why we have to teach them, don't we? You know what? Don't speak to strangers. They are too trusting. Kids are. The world's full of scam artists and con people. So as we grow older, what happens? We get more skeptical, don't we? How many of you believe that? Say amen. We need to be skeptical about some things. The world throws our way. I give you that. But when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, we should have a simple, childlike faith. The opposite of trusting is what? When we worry. Do you notice children don't worry about the things that adults do? They're not worried. My kids, 5 and 8, Ellie turns 6 this week. The fact of the matter is, they're not worried about the gridlock in Congress. They're not worried about gasoline prices. They're not worried about how to get toilet paper during a pandemic. They just trust. Matthew's Gospel 6, Jesus commands us not to worry. He said that our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of, and He'll take care of us. Matthew 6:26 says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. Yet your Heavenly Father, say Heavenly Father. If He's our Father, we're His kids. Our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Kids don't worry about who's going to cook breakfast. They believe mom or dad is going to prepare it. That's the kind of trust that the Lord wants us to have in Him. He is Jehovah Jireh. Say Jehovah Jireh. The Lord, our provider. I want to keep from becoming cynical. I don't want to worry. I want to trust. Number 4, I want to keep laughing with awe. There's one thing we know about kids. They like to have fun, don't they? They love to laugh. There's nothing more enjoyable. Google it. Go to YouTube and just put in kids giggling. I mean, you'll get a riot. I did it this morning. I mean, it was just hilarious to watch these kids laugh. Reader's Digest a number of years ago coined the phrase, laughter is the best medicine. I don't know if it's the best medicine, but long before Reader's Digest coined that, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. How many of you believe that? Say amen. One of the reasons children laugh is because they see the wonder in everything. One of my favorite memories as an adult is seeing our kids in these first years of Christmas morning. They can hardly go to sleep because they're so excited, but they know the fat guy is not going to come down the chimney without them going to sleep, so they go to sleep. And that's the same kind of childlike wonder and awe that we should think about God. Children live in this fairy tale world in many respects, where some handsome prince rescues the fair maiden, and they get married and live happily ever after. And as we grow older, we no longer believe in the fairy tale world. But even as adults, Brighton, we still have to have our hearts filled with a sense of wonder. Solomon wrote it as he spoke the words, Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. Such a powerful mystery about the ways of God. I mean, think about just the nuancing in the spirit realm that took for you to come to Brighton Assembly of God today, to marry the person that you did, to be working where you do so you can let your light so shine for Jesus, that led you to the greater Brighton community. I mean, just the handiwork of God. I never want to lose that sense of awe and wonder. And many adults, the problem is they've lost that sense of the greatness and the glory of God. For some, their worship has just become humdrum and a boring experience. They've got an attitude, been there, done that. What are we going to sing today? Matthew 21, we read that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, triumphal entry. A lot of people celebrate Palm Sunday, but they forget who some of the key singers were. Look at Matthew 21 again. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things He did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Did you hear what these children are saying? They asked Him. Yes, He replied. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise? I would submit to you what Rhonda was saying during the worship time. And she didn't know what I was preaching on verbatim today whatsoever. But it's time for us as adults to start expressing our praise by worshiping the way that children worship. I love to go to our VBS And I love those closing times of just praise and adoration with the worship team. Can I just tell you an insight from my life? I love coming to the 11 o'clock service with my kids. Ron and I come there, and Claire and Pastor Chris and Pastor Dante and the whole team, they got those kids dancing up in front and lifting up a voice of praise. And I look around, and I'm like, I don't care what the adults are doing. I'm going to dance with these kids. You know what? I want to lift up a voice of praise always under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I don't want to be shy about it. Number five, I want to keep forgiving speedily. Wouldn't it be a better place in this world if we could forgive people who hurt us as easily as kids do? Some kids were bragging one day on the playground about their dads and whose dad could beat up whose dad. And that afternoon, this big, strong dad rang the doorbell at the house of one of the other boys. And the dad answered the door, and the big guy's at the door, and the big guy says, my kid said that your kid said that you've got a list that you can beat up anybody on this list, and I'm on that list. And I don't think you can beat me up. So what are you going to do about it? The smaller dad looked at him and he said, I'm going to take you off the list. Problem with adults, hear me, look at this. You might not write it down, but a lot of you keep a list of people that you haven't forgiven. If I mentioned a name or two of somebody that's offended you over the course of time, I mean, it would change your countenance. Kids, you know what? They can get upset at each other. And you know what? A minute or two later, they hug and they go on their way. And it's all forgotten. Why don't you take those people off of your list and forgive them? What did Paul write? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, in Christ, God forgave you. Sixth, I want to keep a childlike innocence. Look what the word says. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. When I was in elementary school, you know what my favorite class was? Recess. We called it recess because we got out of the building. We didn't sit around. We would play basketball, we'd play football, we'd play dodgeball, kickball. You know what? We'd play, none of us played alone. We'd play kill the guy with the ball, just throw a football to him, and he's got to dodge everybody. It was just fun. We would have all kinds of fun, but it was fun to be with others. You wanted to be with your friends. And here's the attack of the enemy. Listen to me online. Listen to me, those of you that are present. This is part of the enemy's attack. I know we live in a fallen world, but I know the enemy tries to scheme to try and separate us and to isolate us. You and I, we need one another. I'll say it again. And you got to receive it because it's the word of God. You and I need one another. I went to the men's breakfast yesterday at 8 a.m. over at the IHOP, International House of Pancakes. And can I tell you, Al did a great job, just read a scripture or two, but primarily, he just got us together, he and Jim McLeish and the other leadership, and we just laughed. And you know what? There was just a sense, by the time we walked out after an hour and 15 minutes, I told a couple of guys that already this morning, you know what? I just was renewed by just hanging with these guys. We laughed, we talked politics, we talked, you know what, things that are going on, but we just laughed together. And as I was walking out the door, you know, I just said to one of the guys, you know what, I just needed to be around you guys to laugh today. It had no reflection on what I think of the world. I love my family. I wouldn't choose them in any way, anybody over them in all the world. I would give my life for my wife and my kids in a second. But there's just something where you need to be around God's people on a continuous basis. And the enemy, that, and I'm not being critical, I don't know what other churches are doing. I'm not responsible for other churches. Okay? Here's the deal. But man, when I hear some of my buddies that they're under the same guidelines as we are, and they say, you know what, we're not going back until after Labor Day and after the new year. I'm like, really? You know what, I want to be around God's people. I believe there's a health. And there, do you need to social distance? Do we need to be careful? Sure. But can I tell you, I just believe God wants to meet with us when we come together and lift up his name. Last idea. It's this idea that I want to just simply come before the Lord and keep running to my Father. When parents tried to bring their kids to Jesus, the disciples said, you know what? The master's too busy for you. And Jesus rebuked the disciples and took the little children into his arms and he blessed them. As the worship team comes back, I want to speak to you for a moment and just say, you know what? The Lord's arms are open to you and I today. Jesus' arms are open for us today. Can you say amen? One of the greatest memories of my life is just as a little kid, my dad would come home from the church or the district office and I'd run up to meet him and he'd grab me and say, how is my buddy today? And I do that with Eli and Ellie. They're still in that stage. When dad comes through the doors, they're glad to see me and I'm enjoying it. If you grew up in a home where there were strong arms to hold you and protect you, you're blessed. You know what I'm talking about. And kids need somebody bigger and stronger than them to protect them. Some of you might say, you know what, Pastor, every time I hear an illustration about a father or our Heavenly Father, I didn't have that. Can I ask you to ask the Lord for you to receive the grace to understand that, however, what it should be, the ideal? When we become adults, we still need someone bigger and stronger to take care of us. And I want to say, the Heavenly Father that we worship is available to you today. We can run to him and he'll embrace us because he's the perfect father. I'm not just making this up. This is the word of God. Galatians 4:6 says, because you are sons and daughters, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. Just as the Lord had a relationship with his heavenly father, he wants us to have that same relationship with our heavenly father because his spirit resides within us. If you understand that, say amen. God's not some unapproachable alien force. He's a loving father who wants to embrace you the way a father embraces his child. Look at this again in the King James, that first verses that we read. Except you be converted and become as little children. Say that word, converted. Say it again, converted. Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Can I just say this to you kindly today, watching online, here in person? You need a conversion experience as a child. You say, well, Pastor, I gave my life to Jesus. I did too. When I was 4 years old at Lost Valley Bible Camp, I can still remember, man, I knew I needed a Savior. And I was converted. But I would say to you, as adults, there's also another conversion experience Jesus was speaking about there. It's that where we stop trying to analyze and we just simply start trusting. Right, Mike? Just start trusting. Do you need to be converted? Will you stop trying to figure God out? Can I tell you, his ways are so much higher than our ways. You're never going to completely figure God out. You know, I like what one preacher said. He said, us trying to understand God's ways is like me trying to explain to an ant how the internet works. You're never going to fully get it. I can't understand salvation completely. I just receive it by faith. God isn't looking for childish behavior, but he is looking today for a childlike spirit. Childlike spirit. Lord, I worship you. And in a real sense, Brighton, only children go to heaven. God's children. Are you his daughter? Are you his son? I don't care if you're an octogenarian or older. Are you his child? I never want to lose that awe of him.